Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Never in the history of our country have homosexuals been permitted to serve openly in the military. History even records at least once General George Washington himself dismissed an officer who was charged with engaging in homosexual acts, sodomy. The commander of the Colonial Army understood the danger to unit cohesion and combat readiness that would exist if homosexuals were permitted to serve. Our nation had followed General Washington's example throughout our history, even to the point where Congress codified into law in 1993 the long-standing military policy of banning homosexuals from serving. But this decision was not made simply because it had always been that way. The decision was made after hours of hearings and testimony from military leaders and others. However, when President Clinton saw the direction Congress was taking, he proposed a don't ask, don't tell policy, which would accommodate homosexuals in the military. Congress wisely saw such a policy would never be fully understood, explained, or defended in federal court. So instead, twice by veto-proof majorities, turned back efforts by Barbara Boxer in the Senate and Marty Meehan and Patsy Schroeder in the House to implement Clinton's don't ask, don't tell policy. Of course, the media did not accurately report this overwhelming defeat, and when the law banning homosexuals from serving did pass, they reported instead that this was the passage of Clinton's compromise, don't ask, don't tell policy, and again failed to report the actual findings of Congress, which stated, the prohibition against homosexual conduct is a long-standing element of military law that continues to be necessary in the unique circumstances of military service. The law stood that way as homosexual activists gained more political power and were able to use the implementation of don't ask, don't tell, rather than the actual law against homosexuals in the military. By the end of May 2010, the House had voted for repeal of the law. And unfortunately, on December 18th, the Senate voted to repeal what they were still calling Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So, it's done, or almost. Homosexuals will be permitted to serve openly as soon as the entire military goes through sensitivity training, which has begun. And the President, Defense Secretary Gates, and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mullen, certifies that allowing homosexuals to serve openly will not affect unit cohesion and military readiness. We strongly disagree with the thought that this will not harm our military. My guest today is former Navy Chaplain Gordon James Klingenschmidt, and thanks, Chaps, for being with us today.
God bless you, Diane, and God bless all your listeners and AFA of Pennsylvania in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Now, you have a story of your own and why we introduce you as former chaplain. What's your story?
Yes, many of your listeners will remember in 2006, when the Secretary of the Navy wrote a bad policy, said chaplains cannot pray in Jesus' name, I took a stand against that policy. I wore my full dress uniform on a Thursday morning, and I prayed in Jesus' name outside the White House on national television. I dared the Navy to enforce that bad policy against me, and they punished me for praying in Jesus' name in my uniform. It cost me a 16-year career. I was honorably discharged, but I lost $1 million pension. Thank God, though, so many of your listeners and so many people around America, 300,000 Americans, signed a petition for Jesus and for free speech, and for a chaplain's right to pray in Jesus' name, that Congress agreed with me, and they rebuked the Navy and rescinded the bad policy that I was punished for. So it was a great victory for free speech and the name of Jesus. Unfortunately, it cost me my career.
And that is so much against what our founding fathers envisioned for the military. They wanted Christianity and Jesus definitely to be included in our military. We appreciate and applaud your courage in taking that stand against bad policy. Pray for you as you're still suffering the repercussions of that. But again, you took a bold stand and know God's blessed you because of that. Now we're in a situation where on December 18th, the United States Senate joined the House in repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And a lot of it was this supposed year-long study that was conducted and released on November 30th, and the Senate saying, to me, the Senate ignored the study because they already had it in their minds they were going to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But supposedly the study looked at the issue of homosexuals in the military, both the pros and the cons, and supposedly allowed active duty military to, quote-unquote, freely voice their opinion via town hall-type meetings with the upper brass. Now, my question is, can enlisted military personnel freely speak in a town hall type meeting with the upper brass?
Not against the Obama administration's desires. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the quote-unquote free speech, and even in a town hall setting where you have chaplains in the audience and generals or admirals on the stage asking for the troops' input, the troops are not allowed to give input. In fact, the polls that were explained that you just referred to were reported in the media falsely because I have the real statistics. I read the 350-page report, and not only are just about all the chaplains opposed, but 85% of combat Marines, 75% of Army combat arms, say that repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell will have a negative, very negative, or mixed impact. So the troops are very much against allowing open homosexuality in the military. And when chaplains stood up to say, hey, we're worried that we're going to be under fire here, our free speech rights are going to be impinged, we're not going to be able to quote the Bible in chapel, we're not going to be allowed to counsel sailors that homosexuality is a sin, the generals specifically told the chaplains to shut up and color and sit down and don't cause a stir here because the Obama administration has you in their gun sight. And I'm very concerned now that the repeal implementation plan is being released, that chaplains are going to be discharged if they preach against homosexuality as a sin.
Yeah, my understanding, there's going to be zero tolerance when it comes to stating that engaging in homosexual acts are sinful. And it's, you know, it's very troubling that First Amendment of the Bill of Rights includes the freedom of religion. Now our chaplains are going to be forced to, or actually they're going to lose that freedom when they wear their uniform. Even as you really lost that freedom in your situation in praying in Jesus' name, you lost your freedom, the First Amendment freedom in that situation where you prayed in Jesus' name and were discharged. But now we have a much more blatant, I guess, assault on religious freedoms when even preaching what Scripture says about engaging in homosexual acts of sin, where chaplains will be penalized and may lose their careers over speaking the truth of Scripture. And it's very concerning to me. I know, and like you said, chaplains did openly question whether, you know, how this was going to impact their careers and their religious beliefs. They were ignored, and they were basically told, as you said, that they were basically told they could just find another job. And I know that the Washington Times reported that Army Lieutenant General Thomas Bostic, he actually compared the opposition to allowing open homosexuals in the military to opposing racial integration. Now, the Army has come out and said, well, that wasn't an accurate quote. But yeah, we have other ones who've used the same type thing, saying that if you oppose homosexuals in the military, you would also would have opposed the racial integration in the military. And that is such a bogus claim. But the media picks up on that. And even as the media skewed the results of that report that was issued on November 30th and refused to accurately report what the polling showed and how strongly the military opposed implementation of open homosexuals in the military. Yeah, when you think of your days in the Navy, and there's the loss of privacy, there's just the whole situation there. Not even looking at the religious aspect, let's just look at military life, and just for a minute, let's look at military life and how that would impact those who are in the military and who are now faced with open homosexuals in the military. How would that impact just military life as a whole?
Well, it's going to be problematic in two different ways. The first way is for the ability of troops to be able to trust each other in combat. Just by nature of the job, our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines are forced to share common sleeping quarters, share two-man tents on the front lines, share open-bay shower facilities with people that now are going to be openly hitting on them and ogling them in the shower. They're not going to be permitted separate tents or separate quarters or separate showers. They're going to be forced to, you know, bear themselves, even if Christians have a conscience objection to, you know, being violated in that way. There's going to be a lot of sexual harassment now from the homosexuals to the Christian troops. 71% of polled soldiers said that they are not going to share open shower bay facilities with open homosexuals. So that's going to cause a lot of disruption right there. They're going to complain to their commanders, complain to their chaplains. The second way it's going to be a problem is for the rights of chaplains to have free speech, whether it's in the chapel or out of the chapel, whether it's in counseling or, you know, just when somebody approaches them and asks them, chaplain, do you think my homosexuality is a sin? The chaplain's on the spot. He can answer yes, the Bible says it's a sin, or he can answer no, I think it's really okay, and compromise what the Bible teaches. But I'm reading from the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal implementation plan. This is the document that came out in December, and they're implementing this plan now with the sensitivity training, as you said. But it says on page 24 and page 57, it repeats twice, if a chaplain is unable to reconcile serving with or caring for gay and lesbian service members, the chaplain may request that his endorsing agency withdraw his endorsement. In other words, the bishop withdraws his church credentials. This would trigger an administrative separation of the chaplain under DOD instruction 1304.28. In other words, chaplains have two choices now. Either they can reconcile with homosexual sin, or they can quit the service and forfeit their career. I think that's an untenable choice. A lot of chaplains are going to be put on the line, and they're going to be drummed out of the service just the same way that I was, because they refuse to bend on their conscience.
And that's actually part of, quoted in on pages 24 and 57 of the implementation plan. That's,
yes, I just read a direct quote from that.
Okay.
And that's available on our website. You can read all the details at our website, which is prayinjesusname.org.
Prayinjesusname.org, okay. I encourage our listeners to definitely go and check that out, because I don't think people fully realize implications of repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. When it comes to the chaplains, they are, like you're saying, they're going to have a choice to make. They're going to have to preach the Bible and what Scripture says about the sin of homosexuality, or they're going to lose their careers. And I know that when it comes to enlisted personnel, they basically have signed a contract for a number of years to serve in the military. And it's my understanding it's not going to be as easy for them to, quote, go find another job if they don't like the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So they're in a whole different scenario. But now we have the chaplains who, and explain to me, I don't understand fully how, you mentioned that they will lose an they may lose an endorsement. How does a chaplain become, I guess, a chaplain, or how is that done in the military? I mean, I know they go through chaplaincy school and all that kind of stuff, but you mentioned credentials or endorsements. How does that work?
Yes, well, every chaplain is just like a pastor, but in the sense that they answer to a civilian bishop of their denomination, whether it's Catholic Church or Assemblies of God or a Baptist church. They don't always call them bishops, but you have to have what they call an ecclesiastical endorsement from a real denomination in order to be accepted by the Pentagon as having credentials to be a chaplain in the first place.
Okay.
You also have to have a equivalent of a Master of Divinity degree with the languages, 3 years. And you also have to have 2 years of ministry experience before you even apply. So then the Pentagon accepts you as a chaplain, but in order to maintain your career throughout your 20 years as a chaplain, you have to have a good standing endorsement from your civilian bishop, which, if that's ever revoked, or if you as a chaplain request that your credentials be revoked, then you can no longer serve in the military because you're not credentialed as a minister, according to the Pentagon. So for them to withdraw that ecclesiastical endorsement is the same as resigning or terminating your career because you refuse to, quote, reconcile with homosexual sin.
Okay.
The Pentagon's giving you a choice. You either quit the service or have your bishop revoke you from the service, or you reconcile with homosexual sin. I don't think that's a good choice.
No, absolutely not. As you said, the majority of chaplains do not agree that homosexuals should be permitted in the military. They understand that homosexuality is a sin. They do have a major, major choice to make. And I know that there was, in one of these town hall type meetings, it was a high level meeting, and that meeting was specifically created for the purpose of discussing the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And one chaplain specifically asked, what should chaplains do? What should people of faith do if this policy changes and we have problems of conscience with how it's going to affect us? The chaplain who asked that question was told by a high-ranking member of the panel, again, a high-ranking member, and he was told they should just get out of the military. And as you're saying, yes, that's going to happen because chaplains...
it's already happening. That's why 65 evangelical chaplains are already suing the military. They're all, you know, Baptist or Pentecostal, and they want the right to preach and pray in Jesus' name, but they have been passed over for promotion in the past years. And that's how they're going to drum the chaplains out. There may not be a big dramatic trial like there was in my case, but they're going to control their duty assignments, their evaluations, and their promotions and they simply won't get promoted, and after 5 years as a chaplain, they won't be allowed to reenlist. So it's going to be very quiet. You're going to see a lot of liberal chaplains, pro-homosexual chaplains getting promoted into mm-hmm. places of power. All the evangelical chaplains who preach and pray in Jesus' name are going to be drummed out of the service, and you won't even realize it's happening.
Yeah, it's going to be all undercover. So you're saying that they, after 5 years, if they don't get a promotion, explain that. After 5 years, if they don't get promotion, they're drummed out of the service? Is that what you said?
Well, usually the first 3 years for a brand new seminary graduate, you're an O1, an O2, and you go through a training phase. And then 5 years after that, right around your eight-year point, you come up for promotion to lieutenant commander. If you're a lieutenant, you don't get promoted to lieutenant commander, then you get strike one. You fail the next promotion, you get strike two. If you don't promote 3 times in a row, you cannot reenlist. So at about the 8 or 10 year point, you are sent home and you're honorably discharged, but you will never make it to a 20-year retirement.
And it's scary to think that this is already happening. As you've said, you know, there's already 65 evangelical chaplains who've sued. Is that what you said? Sued to be able to pray in Jesus' name?
Well, they sued to get promoted, and they failed to promote because of their evangelical views, because they preach the gospel. It's ironic that, you know, the liberal chaplains have a very small crowd. Mm-hmm. None of the sailors really come to their worship services, but they get promoted. It's the evangelicals who have the very large crowd who preach the Bible, and they're trusted by the sailors, but they fail to get promoted. So the Navy's upside down in that way, and there's a hegemony at the top where the Pharisees of the chaplain corps rise into positions of power.
Yeah, squeezing out all the other ones.
Yes.
That is very frightening. And I have a quote here from Mickey Weinstein, I guess is how you pronounce his name. He's the founder and president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which sounds really good. But the quote says, it's quoted by the Associated Press, "My heart doesn't bleed for these chaplains." That's the chaplains who believe scripture is correct when it says homosexuality is sin and want to preach that. Mickey Weinstein is saying, "My heart doesn't bleed for these chaplains. If they don't like it, there's a very simple solution. Fold your uniform, file the paperwork, and find something else to do." Did a little bit of research on the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Some of its partnering links on the website are like the ACLU, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, Atheist Alliance International, and the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers. Those are some of the partnering groups. But unfortunately, what he's saying is not, he's not the only one saying that. There are also folks in the military saying the very same thing. Our chaplains will be already under an extreme difficulty and test, and it's going to get worse as there's going to be zero tolerance when it comes to especially the homosexual issue, because my understanding is they've equated sexual orientation with race, you know, in their anti-discrimination policies, and they've equated that with race. So zero.
Well, we do have some good news, Diane, and that is,
oh, that's good.
we have some friends on Capitol Hill who are going to bat for military chaplains' rights. And we have a petition drive going on our website, prayinjesusname.org. And I ask everybody to go there and sign that petition at prayinjesusname.org. And we will fax all 100 senators, all 435 congressmen with your petition, asking them to defend military chaplains' right to pray in Jesus' name. Defend our troops' right of conscience when they are objecting to sharing open shower bay facilities. And defend Christian troops' right to preach the gospel the same way and be open about their Christian faith the same way that homosexuals are not allowed to be open about their sexual deviancy. If Christians are suppressed, then, you know, it's just as bad, supposedly, as if homosexuals all those years had been suppressed about their openness. Christians need the same right to be open about their faith in Jesus Christ and even to say that homosexuality is a sin if that's what their faith believes.
Mm-hmm.
We have Congressman Walter Jones of North Carolina,
Congressman
Mike McIntyre, a Democrat from North Carolina, who are introducing a bill. Last year was H.R. 268 to protect military chaplains and Christian troops' freedom of religious expression, and we hope that that bill passes through the House, Senate, and is signed by the president.
I would hope so, but with this president, who knows? Well, let's definitely pray that. So you say they've introduced that, or they're getting ready to introduce that bill?
I think they're going to slip it into the defense authorization bill probably in May or June, They'll have hearings on it. They'll debate it. And then it'll go over to the Senate. Now, it may be blocked in the Senate because Senator Carl Levin of Michigan, the Democrat, has blocked that in the past. But they're going to have to go to conference committee and reconcile that. Hopefully we'll get to keep the language in the bill, and then the president would have no choice to sign it because it would be part of the overall defense budget.
Okay, that's definitely something we'll keep an eye on. Do you think that there's any way to stop implementation of the repeal? I know they're going through the process. They started the sensitivity training. They've got the zero tolerance policy, and the chaplains are in their crosshairs, and literally in their crosshairs to get the conservative evangelical chaplains out of the military, to force them out, basically, and to have the military chaplaincy overrun by liberals. Do you think there's any chance to put a stop to the implementation of repeal?
Not at this stage. Okay. I think I'm encouraged by the next, maybe in 2012, Governor Tim Pawlenty has already come out and said if he runs for president, that he is going to repeal the repeal. In other words, to reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell is a good policy, which was upheld by the Supreme Court in 1996. It was the law since 1993, as you said. But that policy can be reinstated if we get a good presidential candidate, and I hope that's going to be my standard. I'm going to test all the presidential candidates if they agree with Tim Pawlenty to reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Absolutely. That's definitely a good test. Okay, that's good. So give us your website again and tell us what the petitions are up there.
PrayInJesusName.org. is our website. Again, PrayInJesusName.org. We have many websites. Many of them are free. Some of them you can pay a fee to have your faxes delivered to Congress. But we have defended the rights of people to pray in Jesus' name. Many of your listeners will remember in the state of Pennsylvania, we delivered 100,000 faxes to the Pennsylvania legislature 2 years ago, and the Speaker of the House repented and restored the rights of pastors to pray in Jesus' name.
And he chose, I'm just going to throw this in there right quick, and he chose not to run for re-election this past year. So he's not even in the House, yeah.
Well, that's pretty smart, because he would have been drummed out of the service. I think anytime he took a stand against Jesus' name and he fired Pastor Jerry Stoltz, who is because he prayed in Jesus' name, this is an anti-Jesus legislator, and that's why the people rose up and threw him out of office, essentially, with his tail between his legs.
He read the writing on the wall.
But we've won victories like that in 10 states around the country. Just last month, we restored that same right in the North Carolina legislature. We've won court cases in Indiana and New York. But people can sign those petitions at PrayInJesusName.org. And our next battle is for the Hawaii Senate, who's just stopped prayer entirely because of an atheist threat of a lawsuit.
Yeah, I think it was, one atheist threat? It's amazing what one atheist can do in bullying legislative bodies to stop prayer.
It's more exciting when the church rises up and we deliver 100,000 petitions
or
2.5 million faxes to Congress like we did last year. When the church rises up, we can take back the government. We can elect new governments. We faxed voter guides to up to 125,000 pastors last year, and they threw out Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House. So we are able to mobilize the church if people will stand with us and simply sign those petitions at PrayInJesusName.org.
Okay, fantastic. And again, chaps, I appreciate your service to our country in the Navy and the bold stance that you've taken in this nation and around the nation in the attempts to get us back on course in the exposing the need or re-educating the nation on the need to pray in Jesus' name and to take a bold stand for our Lord. And I appreciate that. So if folks wanted to contact you, how could they best do that?
They can call me at 866-OBEY-GOD. That's a toll-free number, 866-OBEY-GOD. Or they can email us through the website, PrayInJesusName.org.
Okay.
I accept speaking invitations. I'd love to come back to Pennsylvania if there's any pastor who wants to host me there.
Okay, so it's 866-OBEY-GOD or through the website, PrayInJesusName.org. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I appreciate it, and you take care.
Okay, God bless you and your listeners, in Jesus' name.
God bless you, too.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323. Or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFA of PA.